Good to be here, folks. What I'm going to be talking about tonight is very important. Very important. If you'll turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. I hope I'm not the only one that can see the trend as it develops around us, but let's try to develop it tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 1. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. There's no doubt in the apostle's mind he's talking about the church being caught up. And the gathering together has to do with the church. It doesn't have to do with the second advent at the end of the tribulation. He said, I do not want you to be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. If your Bible doesn't say Christ, throw it away and get you a Bible. Amen. If your Bible says the day of the Lord, you got the wrong Bible. Let no man deceive you by any means. Now notice the word deception shows up, and you have never lived. This world has never known a time of deception like it is now. Amen. It's settling in like a dark, heavy blanket down on people. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, of course, that has a direct reference to what you understand God to be. And your concept of God. When I say you, I'm talking about the people that will be affected by this. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Well, he's pulling back. The floodgates are opening. They are really opening wide. And now you know what withholdeth. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He's holding back this conflagration. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Note the lying wonders with the deception in verse number 3. And with all deceivableness, deception again in verse number 10, of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure and unrighteousness. Now that's a sober warning. First of all, if you believe the Bible, do you believe the Bible?
Yes,
I'm a Bible believer. I am. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Did you know there's over 600 religions in the world? Over 600? And I'm sure all of them think they're right. And they've all got the truth. So what makes us so certain tonight that we're right? Are you sure you're right? Are you certain? The Quran, which is the holy book of Islam, was written by Muhammad, 600 and something A.D. The Quran, he laid the Old Testament scriptures down, and he also had the New Testament, and he began to copy. And in the place of Isaac, he replaced and put Ishmael as the promise. And much of the Old Testament history is straight from the Old Testament in the book, in the Quran. And so therefore, the Quran, which became the religion of Islam and the religion of the Mohammedan today, is a product of Muhammad about 600 and something A.D. It's a Johnny come lately. And of course, it is their holy book. And this Bible right here was long finished before the Quran was ever written. Remember, 600 years. The book was finished about 500 years before the Quran was ever written, this book. And I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. I believe there's been a concerted effort in the last few decades to diminish the King James Bible in the minds of people and for various reasons push other translations. Well, this is not about all that tonight. But I hope you've come to believe in a book. I hope you really, really do. I believe this book, this King James Bible. The church is inundated with deception. There's a vast deception moving about. Just in the last few days, I'm going to give you an illustration of what's going on. And I want you to get a hold of it tonight, because this is working on your mind and it's working on the church. Now, down in a little town in Middle Tennessee, it's called Murfreesboro, Tennessee. That's a little town below Nashville. I think something 60 miles down below Nashville. It's a nice place. I've been down there a number of times. Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It's a nice place to live. Muslims are going to build a mosque. All right. Now, these people down there in Murfreesboro are not from Wall Street. They're not from New York. They're not from Chicago, Los Angeles, and the rest of these places. These people are from Middle Tennessee. And faith is strong in areas down there. And so these Muslims are going to go in and build a mosque. Well, they don't like it. These people don't like it. They don't like it because they know that Islam is a lie. And they know that that they're propagating a lie, and they know the history of Islam. They're preachers. I'm sure their preachers have brought them up to date on the history of Islam. Don't listen to the government. Don't waste your time. And don't listen to the school system. All you got to do is get a history book. Go right in here. What's his name? Wrote the History of Civilization. I can't think of his name anyway. But about this wide. I've got his volumes. Ariel Durant. Durant. His name is Durant. He wrote the History of Civilization. Read what he says about Islam. Read what any reputable history book has to say about this. That was printed 50, 75 years ago before political correctness. Read it. And don't kid yourself. Islam is the religion of the sword. And a peaceful Muslim is simply a Muslim who wants to live and be part of the community and so forth. And a lot of Muslims are like a lot of quote-unquote Christians. You know, they're pilgrims. They go to church on Easter and they go to church on Christmas and Mother's Day, and that's about it. Is that not true? And a lot of Muslims are like that. But if they read the Quran and take it word for word for what it says, it tells them to kill you. And don't let them spin it any other way. That's what their book says. But you're smart enough to know that. You know that. And the people out here in the country know that. And so they also know that there's a concerted force in this country trying to ram that down people's throats. And what's going on in New York City right now? With this mosque, this fellow's trying to build a mosque. It's not right on ground zero, but it's close enough. It's close enough to be a problem. And over 3,000 Americans died at the hands of Muslims. There's no other way to spin it. You can say they're radicals and you can say they're extremists. That's news media spin. That has nothing to do with reality. They're Muslims. And they killed over 3,000 Americans, died that day. And those people up there are still hurting from it. All right, so they're going to try to push in there and build a mosque. Well, now, that they try to do it is not an issue. They're going to do anything they can. They're going to do anything to get away with. They built a mosque right smack in the middle of where the temple in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple, stood. There's a mosque sitting there. They turned the temple of Hagia Sophia, the church of Hagia Sophia in Istanbul, Turkey, they turned it into a Muslim mosque. And they've done that all over the world. And the idea is that they replace the Christian or whatever it is, Jewish site with their site. And the point is to show their supremacy and that they are. Well, here's the point tonight. The point is that the news media is pushing this agenda. The news media is trying to ram it down your throat. They're trying to ram it down your throat. Now, I'm going to get local with you. I'm going to get real local, real fast, okay? We've got three major networks here in town. We've got WBIR, WATE, and what's the other one? BLZ, VLT. We've got WVLT. Aren't these three major news networks in town here in Knoxville? I've been in this town all my life. I was here before 26 ever showed up. And back then when it was called 26, I only had two networks, 6 and 10. So I've been here all my life. I remember when it all started. WBIR has what's called Straight from the Heart. They're pushing this Straight from the Heart. Well, they have a lot of good stuff on Straight from the Heart, okay? And what they do with this, it's kind of a down-home thing that is a connection of the people who live in the area. And they run back into the past, 20, 30, 40, 100 years. And they bring up little snippets of history. And they go out into the area where the people live. And they show you how they quilt and they plow and they build things. And the idea is that they're making a connection with the people of East Tennessee. Okay? All right. There's nothing wrong with that. There's not a thing wrong with that. But the other day, two lesbians living in a house in Vonore, was it Vonore? In Vonore. Now, isn't Vonore just a little west of Maryville? I think so. I've been down through there. I think it is. A little west of Maryville. All right. And these two perverts were living in Vonore in a home. Well, somebody burned their home to the ground. All right. That's bad. That's bad. That's not the way to win people. That's not the way to witness. And wrote queer on buildings and so forth, you know. All right. Well, now the FBI has been called into it, TBI and all the rest of them. And what they're doing is pursuing a hate crime. Now, when I was born in 1946, that didn't exist. There was no such thing as a hate crime. There was crimes against humanity, murder, manslaughter, you know, rape and kidnapping and the crimes that people have always committed. But something new has been introduced. Hate crime. Now, when it becomes a hate crime, it's no longer a physical act. It has to do with what a person's thinking. Right? I mean, the act is the act. So if it's a hate crime, I mean, for example, if I burn your house down, if I don't hate you, it's not as bad a crime, see? If I hate you when I burn your house down, I go up the river. See how it works? See the stupidity of it? But it's not stupid. It's planned. It's an insidious way of taking your freedoms from you and giving the district attorney an opportunity to prosecute you on grounds that aren't even in the Constitution of the United States of America. It is unconstitutional to the core. But why was it instituted to begin with? What's it about? Well, these talking heads of the local news media here yesterday and the day before when they were reporting on this out there, they couldn't wait to get on television and tell people about these hate crimes that had been committed against these two poor people out there in Vonore. And then they wanted people to know how that the community had come to their aid and people were coming in there to help them. All right. So the idea is that these people who have been preaching straight from the heart in East Tennessee are now remaking and molding that heart. Are you following me? They're saying that if you're not fully sympathetic with these people and you don't want to come and you want to help them, if you're not part of what's going on to help them and sympathize with them, then you're full of hate and you don't have the real heart of East Tennessee. That's the message. They interviewed some of the big religious leaders here in East Tennessee the other day. Apparently they've met somewhere in some building, and they interviewed them. And of course, when the news media interviews anybody, they have an agenda. Please remember that. The truth of the matter is, for the most part, if the news media comes to interview over something, say no comment. Why? Because they'll take what you say and edit what you say and pull a sound bite out of what you say to support what they say. They will not present the whole truth of what you've said. No way. They'll never do it. It's called yellow journalism. That's what they used to call it. But I'm trying to show you tonight how that the elite one-worlders who's trying to change the whole world and make your faith just your faith tradition and just part of what you live, East Tennessee's faith, and how they are trying to reform it, change it, restate it. And they're doing it like that. They're doing it with this business where they're reporting on these two. Now listen, folks, Do you believe your Bible? This is not about Preacher Lawson. This is not Preacher Lawson confronting two lesbians. It's not about me. I may not be here tomorrow. It's about the book you've got in your lap right there. If you've ever read Romans chapter number 1, you can't read Romans chapter number 1 and believe your Bible and have anything to do with that. Now, here's another one. We've got a school system here in this town. And all towns have public school system. The one most wonderful thing in the world, hallelujah, glory to God, would be if the taxes were cut off. Amen. And they weren't funded. They'd have to shut their doors. And then the education would fall back into the hands of the people who... We'd build a school if we had to. We'd build one. We had one for 5 years. We get enough money to put some money in the pot. We'll build a school and we'll educate the kids. And we'll tell the federal government to stay at the road and stay out of the school system. But that's not what they want. You don't make global citizens like that. You don't brainwash kids like that. You see, the local educational establishment is telling your children that your Bible is a myth. Now let's get the 1-2 whammy. The news media and the educational establishment in this town are very visible and very vocal, are they not? Oh, yeah. They're visible and they're vocal. Their face is plastered on that television set every day. And the news media in this town and the educational establishment in this town is anti-Bible and anti-Christ and anti-God. Did I cross the line? Did I judge them wrongly? Or am I right? They are. They are. I wouldn't want my children to be perverts. Would you?
No, sir.
What they did is wrong. You don't go burning somebody's house down who did that. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. But for you to embrace, you see how they did it? They got sympathy by it. I wouldn't put it past a certain group in this town who tries to get sympathy to burn it down themselves. They say Hitler burned the Reichstag over there in Berlin. In Germany back in 1930s, early 30s, somewhere late 20s, whenever it was, he was coming to power to get to power. He used that against his enemies. He blamed them for it. He did the deed and then blamed them for it. That kind of thing goes on all the time. It's called a false flag. So the news media is definitely anti-Christ and anti-God straight from the heart. Listen to me. These people, I know a lot of these people that they show on Straight from the Heart. I know them. I've lived in this town all my life. I know those people. And if those people were still alive, they'd get right in their face and say, don't show me on the same screen. When you get on here and you come on here and you start want people to have sympathy for a bunch of perverts. The town that I grew up in, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, I grew up in this town. This bunch on television came in here. Most of those people didn't come from Knoxville. I grew up here. I've been here 64 years. And the town that I grew up with would not have tolerated two sodomites living in a house in anybody's community. They wouldn't have done it. So if you're going to report straight from the heart, report the way it really is. So what they're doing is they're making a connection sympathetically with your heart, with the people that you know on TV, and then they're turning around and brainwashing you with the garbage that's being rammed down your throat today in this pervert society. I'm telling you the truth. I don't make friends like this. We never will build a big church, and I don't want a big church. I just want the one God wants. Amen. Really? I'm serious as I can be. I watch these guys sell out to get a crowd. They'll sell out to get a crowd. I don't want that. I want to be able to sleep at night. I want a clear conscience. I want a clear conscience. And when this bunch over here in the educational establishment in this town said that the Bible's myths, I think that what that means is that this coming November, when it comes time to elect, we need to know where they stand. We need to know. I wish we had Bob Bevington back. He was a man, and I'm going to tell you something about Bob Bevington. I knew him a long time. He was a man that took a stand, and he let you know where he stood. And he would flat preach the truth. And he stood for it all. That's why I respect him so much. He stood against the tide. And he preached the truth. He preached against liquor. He preached against gambling. He preached against corrupt politicians. He preached about the school system. That's why he started that school over there. He knew how corrupt the school system was. That school's been over there now 30 years or more, 35 years. It's one of the oldest Christian schools in town, if not the oldest. I don't know, but it's been out there long before the rest of them were built around here. Brother Bob started that school a long time ago. And I'm talking about 35 years ago. Imagine how bad it is now, and he started it 35 years ago. You see what I'm saying? Well, when you talk like this to people, that makes them, they have to make a choice. And I'm going to tell you right now, I want you to think long and hard about how you're being brainwashed every day, and how they are. This hate crime stuff, this is thought crime. It's thought police. It's about how you think now. And I don't understand why people haven't been outraged. Why aren't you outraged for the gall and the audacity of the government to tell you that you don't have a right to think? If I choose in my heart to hate certain things, it's really none of their business. You know that? Now, hate will eat you up. You know, you've got to be careful with that. But the Bible says, these six things doth the Lord, yea, seven are abomination to Him. And He lists them in Proverbs. Right there at the very beginning is hands that shed innocent blood. God help that crowd when they stand before the Almighty that's been killing babies. Well, you know, I just got tired of it. I got so sick and tired. I got so sick and tired of watching this stuff. That this media, they want to come across as your buddy and your friend, and they love the country and they love the area and they love your culture and they love the people, and they no sooner get through running that than here comes Ellen DeGeneres advertising her show. Isn't that something? Think about it now. God's not the author of confusion. Right? See what I mean? They can't have it both ways. The news media likes to take this high and mighty, highbrow, condescending, fatherly attitude, like they know better than you do about how you ought to live. And they're going to dictate to society what its standards and its morality ought to be, see? And so they're the eye, the all-seeing eye that ferrets out the bad and so forth, when they're as corrupt as they can be. And it's anything for a dollar bill. That's what it's about. The love of money is the root of all evil. Thank God the church is not about money. At least thank God this one's not.
Well, I read in the paper a couple of days ago where you talked about those two young ladies down there in Bon Orton.
Yeah. You're kind.
I forget the name of the ministry that just got down there, something angelic ministers for homosexuals and lesbians.
Is it a church ministry?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, from the title of
right.
The name, you know.
Right. Right. Right.
That's where all the donations and the money and all is coming in too.
Here in Knoxville, we've had a notorious church for a long time called the Metropolitan Community Church. But I'm sure it's not the only one. That's a sodomite church. But here's the thing. Now, this is 2010, all right? 2010. I hope the Lord comes back before this year's over. But what if he doesn't come back another 10 years? What do you think it'll be in 10 years? Pardon? Oh, you see them everywhere. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know it. And they're in your face with it, too. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. They adopt children and the courts let them. Yeah. So much for the courts. So much for the courts.
Say this church down on Kingston Pike is getting into the mix now. This First Unitarian Church down there.
Yeah. The Unitarian Church is? Let me tell you a little bit about a Unitarian, okay? A Unitarian believes in God, however he may believe in him, but he believes that Jesus Christ is just a creature, that he's not God. That's why Unitarian. He does not believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they deny the deity of Christ, the blood atonement, the virgin birth. Obviously, they deny salvation because there is no Savior. And Unitarians have been around a long time. They go back to the 1800s. And the Unitarian Universalist Unitarian Universalist. Universalism has to do with the fact that everybody is going to be is God's children. That's what universalism is. And since they don't have a Savior, then everybody's saved. That's everything comes to a logical conclusion. It follows a logical progression. And once you get on a certain line of thought, if you're not careful, you're going to follow that right on down to where it leads you. That's where it is. Now, here's the bottom line. You need to witness to these people. You need to be kind and gracious to them. You need to be Christian to them. I wouldn't raise my hand to harm one of them. Try to help them. Show them Christian love. As far as burning their house down, that's wrong. And harming them in any way, that's absolutely wrong. But because you do that, doesn't mean you're condoning what they do. You don't condone their lifestyle. Now, it's not us. I don't know how to say this again now. It's not us, folks. If you believe this Bible, if you believe that Bible, you're compelled. You're compelled to view it in that manner. And I believe the Bible because I know what happened to me and how God saved my soul and changed me. I know that. And I've read a lot of stuff about all the rest of the... A lot of them. And they all fit in certain categories. But this book is unique. It took over 1,500 years to write that book. About 2,000, really, figure Job in. It took 1,900 years, 2,000, to write that book. It took a long time. Now imagine, somebody writing something 500 years ago, you never met him, you sit down, you start writing, it could be a possibility there'd be a little clash in what you write and what they write. You might not agree completely. I mean, you've got these people scattered out all over these places, writing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years apart, yet they're not contradicting each other. Why? Because there's one author. Just one. Just one author. The Holy Ghost. So I believe that we're in the middle of it right now. And I believe that the hand of God is withdrawing. I believe I've heard these people say that that America is going through a great revival right now. Boy, it's always good to hear something like that make you laugh, you know. Really. But I believe the Holy Spirit is withdrawing. I believe He's withdrawing His holding power. And I believe that the floodgates are opening. And I believe that you've only seen the beginning. I believe it's going to get 10,000 times worse than you ever imagined. I believe it's going to get so bad if the Lord doesn't come back that you're going to beg for the Lord to come back. And it may get so bad that you'll do what your fathers did, pack their bags up and leave. Because that's what they did in Europe. They packed up their bags and they left. They'd had enough of it. And that may happen. It may very well happen. And as far as the church, religion... 2010 is alive and well. It's alive and well. You know what I've noticed about the church? I've observed this. I mean, I'm watching it happen. I've watched the church accommodate the transition. And I've watched the church transition with the transition. And I've watched the church become what it is today. The church is a chameleon. And it's very good at it. The church is whatever it needs to be to survive in whatever culture it's in. It will embrace and encourage whatever lifestyle it needs to fill its walls, fill its coffers, and be big. And that's all that matters to these people. And that's not what I'm... I don't want it. I don't want it.
Well, if you see
where
the three biggest churches in Knoxville and Mary got together for 3 days of prayer this week, and they mentioned that there was many faiths around. There's the Muslim faith, and the Hindu faith, and the Buddhist faith.
And are these Christian pastors that's supposed to have gotten together with these people? Okay. Now, this is coming, and this is going to be this. The government's going to pressure it. The news media is going to pressure it. The school system's going to pressure it. These are the three biggies. They're going to pressure you joining up on stage or in prayer meetings or whatever with the Muslim and with whatever else. And that's what they're going to push. And that's what they love, because to them, religion's relative. That's all. Whatever you believe, that's your faith tradition. That's what Gore said. Your faith tradition. It doesn't mean anything. That term is meaningless. That doesn't mean anything. So that's what's coming. That's what they're going to push. All right. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No, they can't, folks. No, they can't. I say this tonight. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come. Even so come. Now, these people around us talking about prayer meetings and revivals and camp meetings and all this stuff. Let me say this. If you like to run off in the woods and you'd like to have all this stuff and do this and that, that's okay. Come November, let me see how you vote. Let me see who you vote for. I'm not interested in your revivals, your camp meetings, your great moves of God, and this and that, if it doesn't translate to who you push that button for in November. I don't care about that stuff. I've been in religion for I've been here 34 years. I've seen this stuff. I've seen them hoop and holler and run up down the aisles and go vote for a baby killer. Vote for one who will run a sodomite in on you. Yeah. No, thank you. No, thank you. I want the truth. You know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. I'm not against revivals. You know that. I'm all for revivals. I'm against this organized stuff that they have year after year after year. That's as meaningless as it can be. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I delivered my soul tonight. I told the truth, what I believe. Our Heavenly Father, I pray it helps someone. God, tonight I spoke the truth. The truth as I know it. The truth as I have observed it. Our Heavenly Father, the news media in this town is pumping nothing but confusion into the minds of the people. And the government is pushing confusion. And the school system is pushing confusion. God, we pray, let us go back to our book, back to the Bible, back to the Word of God, what you gave us. You gave us a book. You gave us the truth, Holy One, and I thank you for that, Lord. That's the only thing that keeps us out of ignorance and error and blindness. It's your blessed, sacred Word. God, tonight we believe it. Now bless my brothers and sisters, our Father, with what we heard tonight, to their heart and to their soul. Bless your Word to their heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless.